Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen you and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our pastors.
Go ahead and take a quick seat. Go ahead and take a quick seat. Tonight, before we continue, like those words were so poignant, we just want to make room for the Holy Spirit. And at this time, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do is invite. He's knocking on the hearts of those who don't quite know him. So I don't have our normal altar call, but what I want to do is point out to you that as we are in this place, in God's house, many of us have come to worship, to praise and sing songs and give and receive a word or some time of his presence. But then there's some people in this place that maybe don't yet know Jesus. Or maybe you're aware of Jesus, but you don't know him. What does that mean? Right? We are aware of LeBron James, but you don't know him. You're aware of your favorite celebrity, of the people that you follow on social media. They don't know you exist. You don't know them. So when we think about God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, you might know of him where, hey, we're sitting in a church singing songs about Jesus. But a question that we can ask ourselves is, do we know him? So tonight, before we move any further in service, I want to put a question in front of you that only you ask. Ask to yourself. And that is, if you were to leave this place and your life were to end, where would you spend your eternity? The Bible tells us that that it's by his goodness that we come to know him. And his goodness, the glory of God, is in this place. And so there's a drawing, there's an invitation going on. So I'm quickly explaining this invitation to you. And that is, in a moment, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go like this. One, two, three. I'm going to pop my hand over the microphone. That pop is your sign to get your hand up. That's the invitation. What's the response? It's a response to me inviting you into a relationship with Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit's knocking at the door of your heart, drawing you in. Maybe some of you in this place, you're wondering why maybe you have some emotion. Is it just because of the keys and a pretty sound and some songs? No, it's the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart, drawing you in. It's his goodness. It's a comfort. It's a knowing. Even though you might not know, it's hard to explain. That's what I'm making you aware of. That's the invitation to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Maybe some of you have been at church a while. You're aware of some church things and Christian things. But church attendance and being aware of Christian things doesn't mean that you follow Jesus. Doesn't mean you have a relationship. So this invitation I'm talking about tonight, that we're going to do in a moment, is I'm talking to you. The invitation is to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior. What does that mean? He's the boss of your life. You've done life your way. You've done what you want, what pleased you. You've gone after what you thought would make you happy. Come on, tell the truth in church. It's not working out the way you thought. The invitation tonight, that knock on your heart, is his goodness saying, hey, I'm good. I'm a good father. So tonight is your night of salvation. Why do we call it salvation? Because when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you stop living your life the way you want. You surrender your heart and life to him, and he becomes your Lord and your Savior. He's the boss. So tonight, the invitation to surrender and to receive eternal life. That's what's taking place tonight. So get ready to get your hand up. I'm not going to even make you come forward, but I do want to see your hands, because I want to see who we're going to pray for. And I want you in the safe and friendly place to be able to identify for yourself, recognize that you need this. No one's making you, no one's coercing you, but you are recognizing that you need Jesus. This is a simple response. So here we go. Get ready to get your hand up. Jesus already gave his all. Surrender your heart and life and make him your Lord and Savior. It's not emotionalism. It's not manipulation. It's Jesus comforting you and inviting you into his peace, into his joy, into his rest. You can't sleep. You can't get your mind to shut up. This is the life that we're talking about. One, get ready to get your hand up. Two, maybe you've done this before, but you are not living the life that you know you're supposed to be doing. Tonight is your night to get your hand up. Three, let me see your hands up all over this place. Get them up, get them up. I see that hand there. Anybody else? I see that hand there, thank you. I see that hand in the family room. See that hand here. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Anybody else over here? Come on, you know there's a knock. You know there's the invitation. You know tonight is your night. Don't be afraid. 8 wise, courageous people so far. Anybody else in this place? Do one more scan. I see that hand. Thank you. I think I already had that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? In case I miss any hands, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray right in your seat. Right in your seat, whether you raise your hand or not. But you know you need to respond to this invitation. I want you to say this prayer. In fact, we're all going to say this prayer. Repeat this prayer after me, would you? Say, Dear Jesus. Come on, say it loud. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight as a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I receive your salvation. Thank you, Jesus, that you died and that you rose again, forever washing away my sins. Tonight, I am born again. I am a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, I am new. So from this day forward, I will follow you all the days of my life. I look forward to heaven. Hell is behind me. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Amen and amen. I just want to explain one more thing to you. As you exit tonight, we'll make one more announcement at the end, but if just so you don't miss this. As you exit tonight, I'm so glad you made that decision. But what we don't want you to do is just walk out of this place. In the same way, like we said, we're born again, you're a new creation. We're in Christianese and in church talk, that's what we call a baby Christian. You're new, you're figuring stuff out. You would never just leave a hospital and let a baby just walk out. We want to get some information to you and we want to come alongside you. We want to do life with you. We want to point you into some next steps. We have some faith-filled friends here at the church that are trained and ready and equipped because they've been where you've been. Come on, any believers have been a new believer before? Come on, we want to walk alongside you. So it's important on your way out that they're going to have some information. You'll see them waving a green book. They're friendly. They're awesome. And they want to get that information. So stop and see them on your way out. Anybody ready to continue in worship? Come on, rise to your feet, worship team. Oh, no, okay. Now rise to your feet. What we're gonna do now? No, we're gonna pray. We came to pray. I want to share a scripture with you, because one of the things that we want to do is we recognize this weekend at the United States of America, the same team that just won tonight, is turning 250 years old. So we get it. We're excited about that. We get to celebrate. We're gonna barbecue. But I want to read a passage. Because, you know, we're going to go before the Lord. We're going to pray about some areas of our country. And maybe, you know, that kind of can feel weird to you. Or maybe you wouldn't consider yourself patriotic. Or that there's confusion with, what is this whole nationalism? No, we're going to pray. And I want to read a passage from you out of Jeremiah 29. Some context for you. In Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah is a prophet of God. As believers, it is our desire to do the will of God the Father, right? And how do we know his will? But through his word. And so in his word, in Jeremiah 29, in Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah, a prophet of God, is speaking to the children of God. And he's making them aware. They've just been taken into exile. Another nation has conquered them and is taking them away as captives. Right? This isn't a great nation that just did this. They conquered them, they destroyed them, they beat their armies, and now they're taking them away as captives. And God, through a prophet, is telling the children of Israel, in our case, believers. 29 verse 7, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Regardless of you came to this nation by volunteer, you volunteered, or you were born here, or you emigrated here, if you're part of this nation, man, amen. So what we want to do, we want it to prosper. We're here, right? And so we're going to pray for our nation. In its imperfections, in its good and in its bads, we want to pray. Because God is good. And I don't know about you, but if our country will prosper, we will be a part of a prosperous nation. And I believe God wants to prosper our nation. I believe he wants to prosper us as godly people, as Christian people. So that's going to be our prayers tonight. So I want you to join your faith with us as we have some of the different leaders in our church come and pray over something. We're not just spectating. We're going to pray together. Is that okay? Our first person, come on, Akia, come and lead us in prayer.
Well, Pastor Antonio tasked me with praying for unity, and Pastor Melissa and I were kind of talking about, like, so there's so many scriptures on it. It's so easy to pray about, so difficult to live out, and I do believe division has been a distraction in the church, and that when God says that he's coming back for a spotless bride, it's a unified bride. So I want to read the scriptures. This is John 17. Jesus is praying. He says, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know them, know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So today we're going to pray that the world around us would not know us by what we say, but by how we live and by how we love one another. And by how we lay ourselves down like Jesus did. So today, Lord, God, first we repent. Lord, for moments where we've spoken about things that we don't understand, for putting first our opinions or our own perspectives, Lord, today we repent and we yield to what it is that you're asking us, and that is that we walk in unity, that we love one another. God, that we lay ourselves down for our brother and for our sister. God, help us to not just be people who speak the word, but Lord, who live it. That we would be recognized by our love, that we would be recognized that you are in us. God, because of the way we love our brother, may the world look at the church like your word says, as a city on a hill. And God, may they see not a divided church, not a church fighting amongst themselves or forcing their ideas, but Lord, may they see a church who chooses to dwell in unity and walk alongside one another, even when things look difficult, even when things are hard. God, that we don't put forward our own agendas. But Lord, we choose to say, kingdom come and your will be done. Holy Spirit, would you give us wisdom in when to engage in conversation and when to not? Lord, would you give us wisdom in what to share? Would you give us wisdom in how to lead the brothers and sisters around us, Lord, who are watching to see how we respond to the things happening in our world? May we be a people who choose prayer before we choose posting. May we be a people who choose prayer and seeking you and getting your heart for the people that are in our city, for the people that are in our nation. Lord, help us to see our neighbor the way that you see them. Lord, you say that true religion before you is that we take care of our widow. God, that we take care of those that other people overlook. So God, today we choose to yield to your place. To love the way that you love when we feel like we might not have it in us, God, that you, through your grace, would empower us to love our neighbor. And God, we thank you that your promise is that where there is unity, you command a blessing. And so, God, as we dwell in unity, would you bless not just our church, not just our city, but our nation, Jesus. May it be a nation that proclaims the truth of Jesus, not just in word, but in action, Lord. And so we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you that you bring us all together. Lord, that you didn't come for one type of person. You came for the world, you say. And so, Jesus, we choose. We just say yes to you. We say yes to what it is that you're asking us, to love each other, to pray for each other, to forgive each other. God, make us people who forgive quickly, who don't hold on to offense, Lord. Now, with the purpose of your kingdom come and your will be done, in Jesus' mighty and precious name we all say. Jesus, your name is the highest. Your name alone is the greatest. But your name
stands above.
Be lifted up, Lord, above all thrones and dominions, all powers, Jesus.
Tonight I've been asked to pray over the leaders of our nation and the leaders yet to come. And so, you know, I want to encourage you in this moment, don't grow tired just yet. The Bible says that those who put their hope in the Lord, that they will never be put to shame. And I want to encourage you that right now we're in an atmosphere of faith. There's a corporate anointing when the ecclesia gathers together and the God of all creation leans in and he listens to the prayers of his people. And so tonight we're going to continue to pray. We're going to believe God that he is who he says he is. And we're going to believe that not only will God bless the leaders of the now, but God will bless the leaders of the future. And so I want to encourage you in this, is that right now in a moment, we're going to ask you to just lay a hand on the shoulder of the person next to you. But I want you to pray like it's the future of your kids. I want you to pray like the future of your family's on the line, because it is. I want you to pray like the future of your business and the things that God has called you to is on the line, because God is inviting you right now to join with the story of heaven. But real quick, I want to share this passage real quick. Stay with me in faith. There's this passage in Joshua chapter 24, and Joshua gathers all together those who are the children of Israel, and he is about to renew a covenant between God and his people. And this is what it says here in Joshua chapter 24. It says this here in verse number 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom will you serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in those whose land you dwell. But as for me and as for my house," come on someone, "as for me and our house, as for this church and this house, as for America and for Caleb, we will serve the Lord." Father, tonight, Lord, we thank you, God, Lord, that God, you are the one who, God, births covenant, God. And so I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that God, you would continue, Lord, to pour out your spirit upon all flesh, that sons and daughters would prophesy, that young men would see visions, God, and the old ones would dream dreams. God, we pray right now for the leaders of America, God. Lord, I thank you, God, that your word says that it is you who raises up kings and disposes kings, God. So we pray, Holy Spirit, continue righteousness would be in this land, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that not only would it be at the level of government, God, but that it would trickle down, God, to regions and to counties, God. Lord, we pray for assemblymen and congressmen, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that Christians that are called to those spheres of influence would not be afraid of stepping into it, but they would say yes, God, to the glory of the Father. Lord, we pray for principals, God, and we pray for parents, God. God, we pray for every pastor, God. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are the one, God, who gives us, God, the dreams that you have desired to see since long ago. God, so we pray, Holy Spirit, that not only the now leaders would be blessed, God. God, your word says when righteousness is in the land, God, the people rejoice, God. So I pray that not only would people rejoice in the land of America or in the state of California or in the county of the San Bernardino, God, but that people will rejoice for generations to come, God. Lord, we pray for holiness, God, then righteousness, God. We pray for those leaders, God, who right now are being trained up to say yes to the call of God. Lord, we pray, oh God, that God, you would pour out your spirit in such a way that they could not say no to the call, but with every single ounce of their being, they would say yes to the call of God, that they would be the ones to say, "How or high water, I'm going to serve the Lord." That they would be like the Davids who wouldn't fear the giant, but they would run straight into the fight, knowing that we don't trust in the chariots or horses. We don't trust in governments or legislations. God, we don't trust the interest rates or the things of man. God, but we trust in the God of the angel armies, God. And if God be for us, ain't no one could be against us. And so we thank you, Lord, that righteousness exalts a nation. God, we pray for every leader now and those to come, Lord. God, that you would anoint them, God, for such a time as this, God. That they would be the esters that wouldn't back down, but they would say yes to the call of God and save a people from destruction, God. And we pray for holiness, for the fear of the Lord, that they would seek you, God. They would be like Jacob, those who seek your face, and they would in return, God, see your glory and your anointing be poured out, God. And we thank you, God, and we commit these prayers to your care, knowing, God, that you are faithful to finish what you have begun. And we commit this to you, God, and we say, God, let your kingdom come, God. God, let your will be done, Lord, in heaven as it on the earth as it is in heaven, God. And we just come on, I just feel this faith right now. Would you just shout that Jesus is Lord? Jesus is Lord over our state, over America, over your families, over this church, over your life and your family and your future. Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen and amen.
Stay standing. You know, in this hour with the reports on the news every day and, you know, 20-something years ago when the first big incident happened with Columbine, it was just, that never happened, that a school would be shot up or whatever. And now it's almost become routine that these things go on. And I know that many of you, fear is gripping your heart. And we need to be reminded tonight of what the Word of God says. And so when we look at the Word of God and we see the promises of God for our protection in this hour, and we know that we're serving God and we're in the right place at the right time to do His will, then we know we actually have angelic protection. So we're going to pray the word tonight. You know, the Bible says that when we speak God's word, when it goes forth, it doesn't return to God void or without effect. But it goes forth and it accomplishes that which we send it forth to do. And what's amazing is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And so faith is going to rise in your heart tonight, because out of your own mouth is how faith is stirred up the heart, the greatest. So we're going to speak the word and pray the word tonight over the protection of our family, over our loved ones. Are you ready? Okay. In Isaiah 54, verse 17, it says, no weapon. Everybody say no weapon. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Say no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every tongue which rises against me in judgment, God will condemn. We will condemn. It says that this is our heritage. This is actually our inheritance, that we would have this protection. And it says, this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord. Who are servants of the Lord tonight? Where are you? Where you are? This is our inheritance. This is our heritage. And it says that their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. We're not righteous in our own selves. We aren't protected because we're just so pure and holy in and of ourselves that we never make a mistake, that we never go over the speed limit a little bit. You know, it's not in our own righteousness, but he has made us righteous. And it goes on in verse 14 to say, in righteousness you shall be established. We are in him. He is in us. We're born of the Spirit of God. Jesus is our Lord. We have angelic protection because he has promised it to his righteous. Everybody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, if you've just received Jesus tonight, that might be hard to say. But you're going to be acquainted with the Word of God. You're going to grow in that area and see that Jesus has washed away all your sin, past, present, future. And you can call upon the name of Jesus. You can call upon the blood of Jesus and be washed clean. And so it's not because you're so good that you're going to be protected. It's not because you're so just, righteous and perfect. It's because of his promise to his children. It says that we will be established. We will be far from oppression, for we shall not fear. Everyone say, I shall not fear. We shall not fear. And it says, and from terror, because it shall not come near you. The things of the enemy, the attacks of the enemy shall not come near you in the mighty name of Jesus. And so these are some scriptures you need to claim. It goes on to say in Psalm 34, verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him. Do you fear God tonight? It says the angel of the Lord, actually that's capital, well, in most translations, it's capital A for angel, which is at what's that word? What's that word that it means? It's Jesus, actually. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and deliver them. That's a promise. And then let's look at Psalm 91. This is so good. I believe it's there. Psalm 91, verse 11. Maybe he doesn't have it on the overhead. Here it is, verse 11. It says, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He's given his angels charge over you, more than one, to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. As I'm aged, I'm claiming that one. It says that in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You have angelic protection. Do you believe that tonight? So we're going to pray. We're going to claim that for our families. And as you've seen the word and you know that the word is true, this is God's promises to you. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for the promises in your word. We thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. And any tongue that rises up to condemn us, we will show to be in the wrong. Father, we thank you that your angel does always encamp around about us and keep us in all our ways. Father, we thank you and praise you for protecting us. We will not fear because we have your divine protection. You've made us righteous with your very blood. And so we thank you, Father, for keeping us and causing us to walk in your peace. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Testimony. We continue to tell the stories of his faithfulness because we know that if he's done it before, he's going to do it again. If we've seen him do it for someone else, listen, he's not a respecter of persons. He's going to do it for us as well. We know that he is a faithful God and he will do what his word says. Amen? Well, I have the privilege tonight of praying over prosperity. How many people in this room want to be prosperous? Come on, we should have every hand raised. I know I'm going to put a foot up there. I want God's prosperity. And isn't it good to know that it is a promise that he has given us? See, so many people in this world think that we as Christians need to be broke, busted, crawling out from under a rock before we go to church. That's not what the Word of God says. It says that he's called us to be prosperous. And you know, I'm grateful that I've been a witness to see as somebody who has been homeless, to no longer having to sleep outside. I am grateful for the prosperity of God in my life. I'm going to read out of Psalms chapter 37, verse number 22 through verse number 26. And this is David talking about prosperity, and he says in verse number 22, "For those blessed by him will inherit the land." See, they want to talk about how it's too expensive for us to buy homes. Listen, if you are a child of God, He'll give you the land. See, it tells us, the world wants to tell us that we won't be able to succeed. Everything's getting too expensive. It says that He will give us the land. It goes on, it says, but those cursed by Him will be eliminated. Verse number 23. For the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and He delights in His ways. When he falls, he will not be hurled down, because the Lord holds his hand. See, we have to know there's going to be times you may trip and fall, but don't stop, because the Lord's got you by the hand. There may be times where it seems like it's getting a little bit tough. Just hold on tight to the Lord, because He's got you by the hand. It says in verse number 25, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. I love verse number 26. It says, all day long He is gracious and He lends. You know, you can't lend unless you got something to give. It says, all day long you will be able to lend. Then it finishes up and it says, and his descendants are a blessing. See, these promises don't just go for you, but they go for your children and your children's children. See, God's got promises in store. He has given us the promises of provision in our life. And you know, this isn't just monetary. You know, I was having a conversation with Pastor Antonio. I got the blessing of spending time with my family. And as they came over, I was telling them I was so blessed being able to hang out with my mom, my dad, my kids, my mother-in-law, my wife, as we join together. See, that's a blessing from God. That's prosperity that He has given me. What is it that you're believing God for? What is it that you've been standing in faith saying, God, I have a need. I have lack in an area of my life, but I am believing for your provision. I'm believing for your prosperity. I'm believing for you to show up and come through in this situation. Let's pray and let's believe God according to His word. Father, we are grateful as your children that you know the plans you have for us, says the Lord, the plans to prosper us, the plans to give us a hope, the plans to give us a future. We are grateful, Lord God, that we can depend on your wealth, that we can depend on what you have in store, that we can depend on your provision and your prosperity in our life. Lord, we are so grateful that we don't have to worry about what the economy says. Lord God, that we are inflation proof. Because you are the one that's seated on the throne. You are the one that provides seed to the sower. You are the one that supplies all of our needs according to your riches and glory. So, Lord God, we are grateful today that every need will be met according to your word. Lord, we are so grateful that as the news tries to tell us to be worried and the news tries to tell us to be discouraged, all we got to do is open up your word and stand firm on your promises. We are grateful, Lord, that you know the steps that we are taking, that you are making a path set before us. So, Lord, we submit our plans into your hands. Lord God, we don't want to do it our way. We don't want to be prosperous according to the world standards. We don't want to be prosperous according to what the ideas of man are. But Lord God, we want to be prosperous according to your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are going to make us rich in faith. That you're going to make us rich in grace. We thank you, Lord God, that you're going to make us rich in our healing. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are going to prosper us in everything we put our hand to. Your word says that we shall prosper. We are so grateful, Lord, that we can put our trust in you in every aspect of our life. That our kids will prosper. And their kids will prosper. And the generations until you tarry, Lord God, they will continue to prosper. Reaching people for Jesus Christ And we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right, I want everyone to sit down for about 2 minutes. Take a little weight off your feet. We're celebrating what happened 250 years ago, and what was that? The Declaration of Independence, based on God's word, was signed by people willing to die for it. The Revolutionary War was fought and won by amazing providential interventions of God. And the Constitution was written and adopted based on biblical principles. But what you need to know is that none of those three things would have happened 250 years ago if there hadn't been a covenant with God by the first people who came. And we are going to pray a prayer of dedication of this nation using the first prayer of dedication that was prayed for this land at Cape Henry, Virginia. Most of you, I think, will probably be surprised by what this land was dedicated for. But I want you to read it so that they're going to put it up on the screen. Are we there? Okay. So, but also a second thing that was necessary for 250 years ago was 50 years before that in 1726. Because America had gone away, even by then, from God and needed to come back. And there was the first great spiritual awakening that happened in the 30s and 40s of 1700s. And if this saved tens of thousands of people across America, and those were the ones who were signed the Declaration. Those were the ones who approved the Constitution, because God had intervened and brought a spiritual awakening that changed the spiritual atmosphere of America so it could happen. And that's what we're praying for. And I'm sure you're going to want to pray for that. But right now, I want you to dedicate America with me and with Reverend Robert Hunt. Because when they first landed, after crossing the Atlantic Ocean, they had brought with them a 7-foot cross. And when they first stood on land after crossing that ocean for weeks, they put the cross up and prayed this prayer of dedication. So will you stand, please, and pray with me this prayer? Because you are America, and you need to rededicate America to God, like our top elected officials did on May 17, a month and a half ago. Are you ready? Let's pray. We do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to raise up godly generations after us, and with these generations take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this covenant of dedication remain to all generations as long as the earth remains. And may this land be an evangelist to the world. May all who see this cross remember what we have done here. And may those who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant, and in this noblest work of the Holy Scriptures may be fulfilled. From these very shores, the gospel shall go forth, not only to this new world, but to the entire world. Okay, hallelujah. This was 1607, and it's still true. All right, Linda and I, a week ago, we're standing about a quarter of a mile on Cape Henry from where this cross was. We couldn't get to it because it's on a base, military base, and we didn't have credentials to get in. But we stood there and we prayed this on the beach right next to it, And now you've joined with us, and God's going to do great things. Almighty God, I thank you and praise you that our prayers are powerful and effective in Jesus' name. And when we pray like we have tonight, the will of God, your angels get their assignments from God through us in our prayers and shoot out like shooting stars to do them. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to continue to worship God. Father, we thank you that we've declared over our lives and over this country and over situations. God, help us to be reminded that we are the church, your body. Jesus, we worship you.
Yeah.
miracle we've seen. It's a glimpse of what is coming. So by faith help us believe. And we know the day is coming when we will see your face. Every knee will bow before you, and every heart will say, praise the Father.
Well, did anybody have a good time in church tonight? Come on, I believe our prayers reach the gates of heaven, and we are believing that we will receive everything that we asked for tonight. Hey, let us pray to dismiss. Again, for those of you who received Jesus tonight, make sure that you see our faith-filled friends as you exit tonight. Go and raise your hands to heaven. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Jesus, and we are grateful, Lord God. I pray, Jesus, for the saints of God, Jesus, as they leave this place, that you would go before them, that they would be blessed in their coming, blessed going, Lord God, that everything they touch, it would prosper in Jesus' name. And Lord, with a great big shout of faith about the Inland Empire, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved. God bless you.
Did you pray the prayer of salvation today? Hey, congratulations and welcome to the family of God. Now, if you weren't able to make it back to the altar care rooms with our teams, we have a digital QR code that you can scan, which will give you access to download our discipleship material, I'm New, What Do I Do? Well, there's a lot happening here at The Rock, and you can stay up to date with us. Simply visit this QR code, and that will take you to our calendar. Select the day that you're looking for to get a full list of what is happening here at The Rock. You can also visit our inner foyers and grab one of our newly released 2026 Rock Life magazines. Well, hey, Rock Church family, it was so fun today being in the presence of God with you. We're believing God for great things in your life, and we'll see you soon at one of our next services. God bless.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on social media or visit our website at rockchurch.com.